to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou.
Love Talk Radio.
I am your host, Louis Petrone. Okay, my friends, welcome again to another week of some good chit-chat here. If you'd like to call in and talk with me, agree with me, disagree with me, share an opinion, let me hear from you. 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number's right on the screen in front of you. The first thing I want to talk about this week is Senator John McCain. Former presidential candidate, Obama beat him in 2008 decisively. He is an American hero. He spent 6 years as a prisoner of war after being shot down in Vietnam. He was strong. He's a man to be respected. His country does respect him. He's given all types of adulation. But I think it's time John McCain resigned and went back home to Arizona. Why do I say this? He's a troublemaker. He gets his nose in where it does not belong. This past week, he showed up in, of all places, Ukraine. They're having arguments over there. The government wants to go with Russia on some sort of business pact, whereas the people don't want any more to do with Russia. They had them when they were part of the Soviet Union. They want to go with the Euro Union. So what does he do? All of a sudden, one morning on television in Ukraine, a Senator John McCain with a smile on his face and a Democratic senator whose name escapes me from Connecticut, and John McCain's telling these people, we're with you. You know, we're on the side of freedom in America. We're going to stand with you and all this sort of thing. Well, this isn't John McCain's business at this particular point in time. I've always been under the impression that the President of the United States deals with foreign affairs. He determines policy as regards foreign affairs, not a United States senator. McCain is a subordinate in this regard. He has the right to go any place he wants. But he has no right to go and speak as he does. I mean, you know, he's with the freedom fighters again. Let's be careful as to who are the freedom fighters. We thought we were on the side of democracy in Egypt, and what happened? So he should keep his nose clean. He should keep his nose out of there. It doesn't belong. It's up to the president to decide whether he wants to offend Russia or not, support the Euro Union or not. These are things beyond McCain. He doesn't sit in the number one seat. And so because of all this, I say, stay home. Go home, John. All right, moving on here. It galls me. It bothers me. I think it's terrible that our government does not let us in on everything. Just yesterday, it was announced a very bad situation. We have an aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan. All the carriers are big. You recall in 2011, 3 years ago, Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan. Terrible. We still do not know the actual extent of the damage and injury to person and property because the Japanese government is playing the situation close to its vest. However, it's supposed to be the worst nuclear disaster ever. What did we do? We sent the USS Reagan over there immediately to help out. Proper, nothing wrong with that. And they did help out. They were taking people, going in the water, physically sailors, taking people out of the water. The ship was basically parked about 10 miles off the coastline where the disaster had occurred. And there was a problem, which they didn't know they had at the time, the sailors. They would go on shore, they do everything, they're helping to rescue the people, bring them fresh water and everything. Well, they got a big aircraft carrier with thousands of people on it. They still have to drink, cook, and bathe, right? And what do you need to do that? You need water. And what what these big ships do when they're deployed is they desalinate ocean water. They desalinate the water. They take the salt out of it and then use it as, in effect, as fresh water. So they were desalinating while they're sitting out there 10 miles offshore, and they were using this water to drink, to cook, to bathe. Now we find out 3 years later that 51 of the sailors that were on that ship have come down with cancer. Most of the 51 are in their 20s, right? And they've come down with either thyroid, testicular cancer, or leukemia. Well, and there's maybe, I'm not laughing, this is sad, maybe there's another 150 behind them. People are still being examined, not by the Navy, by the way, this is what I'm coming to. A lawsuit was filed this week on behalf of these 51 sailors. And they sued the company in Japan that ran the Fukushima nuclear site, and they're going to sue the Japanese government. Obviously, these sailors cannot sue the United States because they're in the military service. You can't sue your general, your country, your admiral. And so that's not a possibility. But what bothers me here is the public was not aware of this till the lawsuit was filed yesterday. I don't know why our government didn't tell us about these guys who are coming down like Agent Orange in the Vietnam War. People getting sick, and the government denies it. Well, they have denied it in effect. The Department of Defense says there was protective measures taken. The water could not be contaminated. Protective measures taken. The water could not be contaminated. And so these guys are not even eligible for disability monies from their government, nor are they entitled perhaps to free medical care for these major problems, okay? And what galls me is we're not made aware when things happen. We had to wait here for a lawsuit because our government did not tell us. We are supposed to be transparent. Obama ran the first time on transparency, promised more transparency in his second term, and I think he's been the least transparent president in recent times. Which brings me now to Iceland. This is really interesting. I'm talking here, first of all, with those 51 sailors about the government not telling us what was going on. I'm going to talk to you now about the media, the United States mainstream media, not telling us something that I think we should have known. I'll explain it to you very quickly and very briefly. Iceland, small country. They had their own banking problems. We had our recession 2007 that started. The banks were killing us. More people lost their homes in 2008. And you know what happened with the banks. In Iceland, the banks were involved in increasing fraudulently the value of bank stock. It wasn't the bad mortgages. They just were saying that if something was worth $10 or worth $20, when there wasn't enough money in the bank to support that kind of value. And they did this internationally. Now, it's 2008. All of a sudden, the banks are going to go under. And the government says, we have to bail out the banks. Sound familiar? And you know what? The people of Iceland said, up yours. We're not going to have you use our taxpayer dollars to bail out these guys who were crooks in the first instance and got themselves in trouble. Well, there was a pissing match in effect between the government and the people. There were protests, demonstrations in the streets that grew and grew. There never was any firing or wars or beatings up or anything happening. But 3 months later, the president and the parliament all resigned because of this protest. And the people got together. They formed a new government. They also, I want to tell you this, They didn't like the Constitution they had. And they put together a group of citizens, not legislators, not lawyers, not politicians, and assigned them different parts of the Constitution to draw a new Constitution for Ireland, for Iceland. I sometimes think we could use a new constitution here because the way the courts are interpreting the Constitution now is not consistent with what I learned in law school, but that's a story for another day. Okay, so now Iceland's got their government resigned. It was a successful revolution. They've got a new constitution, 2012 it was adopted, and they never bailed out the banks. The banks went bankrupt. But what's even better, you remember, not only were they too big to fail in this country, they were too big to prosecute. Well, I'm going to tell you what the new government did. They indicted all the bankers they could, and they indicted their political friends, and they keep sending them to jail. Yes, the bankers were responsible for this bank fraud, have gone to jail, are still in jail. And I compare that to the United States, where we were told the banks were too big to fail. We gave them our money. They were supposed to help Main Street with loans. They didn't. They helped Wall Street. People are still struggling, need the use of money from the bank. The banks took care of themselves. They got richer. Wall Street got bigger and better, while Main Street suffered big time. And they were too big to prosecute, we were told. Didn't bother Iceland, put them all in jail, and that's what we should have done. Now, why am I irritated about this? I just learned about this past week. Tell me if you knew about this in 2008 and 2009. I doubt most of you knew what I have just told you, and that's the irritation. This was all over the news in Europe. This was all over CNN in Europe. They have a European outlet. Did you hear it on CNN? Did not even carry it in the United States. The New York Times had some small articles back page where they said there was some kind of a dispute that didn't happen in the country and there were things happening, but never said anything specific. And they were the only ones. The media, the United States mainstream media, and I'm going to talk about TV now, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, they didn't tell us what was going on. They did not report this story at all. None of your reporters talked about this story. None of the talk shows talked about this story. And why was that? I think, very simply, we knew that Iceland had set up yours to the banks and didn't give them a penny. We would probably have been inclined to do the same thing. And if we knew that they were putting the bankers in jail in Iceland, we probably would have done the same thing as insisted these people be indicted here. My point is, and the media did not tell us, and why didn't they tell us? Because the media is no longer owned by news people. It's owned by corporate conglomerates, international corporate conglomerates, most, if not all of which, consist of a few banks in that conglomerate. Okay, they didn't want this news out that another country was standing up to the banks, and they forced, you know, a whole government to fall in 3 months. They didn't want us to know any of that. This was newsworthy. It should have been reported. It was not reported. It's just breaking now in the past couple of weeks. What is it? 6 years? 5 years later? Not right. You know, they talk about freedom of the press. They always want the right to do this and that, the press. It's a two-way street. You've got to report to people, especially important news. Okay, now where are we going next here? Let's see where we're going next. We're going to go to the Pope. Man of the Year, Time Magazine. I'm impressed. I'm impressed by this Pope. I didn't like him at the beginning. He turns me on. He just seems to be doing this and that, which is good. Now, he recently put out about two weeks ago, his mission statement, which was, this is what I'm going to do this following year, okay? He called it the joy of the gospel, and he basically said that the church and his papacy were going to reform things, and they were going to help the poor and the oppressed. General statements. You will recall when he first took office earlier this year, he said everything was on the table. Abortion, birth control, gay marriage, women being ordained as priests. He said all of these, because he said Jesus loves everybody and Jesus apparently loves everything. We're going to at least discuss these things are all up for review, because he felt that the hierarchy of the church were paying too much attention to little rules, which were mostly man's interpretation, and were not doing their job. They should go out in the streets and welcome the poor in and help the poor and everything else. He wanted the papacy to be broken up a little bit and be more people conscious. Well, 2 weeks ago, he comes out with his Joy of the Gospel. What bothered me about that? What bothered me about that? He said in there, he said, abortion is non-negotiable. It's going to stay the way it is. This didn't make sense to me. He just said a few months ago, everything's on the table. It wasn't even discussed yet. And he also said, women would not be ordained priests. I didn't understand that either. Everything was on the table. By the way, the only reason they don't want women as priests is because none of the 12 apostles were females. Can you imagine having a rule over 2,000 years that women can't be priests because none of the initial group were women? Anyhow, this week, he fired a United States cardinal by the name of Burke, who worked in Rome. He didn't work in the United States. He was the head of certain important Vatican committees. Burke was and is extremely conservative. He's like a Republican far-righter, which means abortion is non-negotiable, women cannot be ordained, all that sort of thing. And obviously he was against gay marriage. Well, by firing, he fired Cardinal Burke. In effect, means that Burke has no more influence in Vatican policies, okay? And that means, it says to me, nobody says, he just said Burke was, they said Burke, not the Pope. Burke was too much of a conservative. And he appointed another Catholic cardinal supposed to be more liberal. I think, I don't know, because the Joy of the Gospel, the mission statement came out 2 weeks ago. Abortion non-negotiable, women's ordination a no-no, and these were things that were supposed to be up for review. Everything's on the table. I don't believe the Pope writes himself everything that comes out and he says this is mine, or writes all of his speeches. He's like the President of the United States. He's got a huge, massive staff. They prepare everything for him. And I got a feeling, I don't know this, but I just got a feeling that Cardinal Burke must have slipped into that mission statement, the non-negotiable abortion item, and no women becoming priests. We shall see. Okay, I'm going to talk about Italy for a minute. The winds of revolt, the winds of revolution are all over Italy, my friends. You heard me. The winds of revolt are in Italy today. They could blossom into trouble, fights. I got to tell you, the government could be overthrown. I see it coming. They don't like, the people are sick of austerity. They're sick of having to pay Germany back while they can't afford to do it. They're sick of falling incomes, and they're sick of their unemployment, which has reached record heights, okay? Last week in Turin, one of Italy's major cities, was a protest, the first protest of any consequence, saying, we don't want any more of this austerity, okay? We got to ease up. We need breathing room. We can't keep paying taxes, which have tripled or quadrupled in 2 years on real property. You go to the bank now. You can have 100,000 euros in the bank. You know how much you can take out in any given day? 250 euros, whether it's from the ATM machine or inside. You can't take your money out. And the reason you can't take your money out is because the government's talking about, because Germany's insisting on it, that the government take a percentage of everyone's deposits in the bank, savings account, checking account, like they did in Cyprus, to pay off the German debt. This is wrong. And these Italians aren't going to take it. don't put your hand in my pocket. I know a lot of them. I've been there recently for a considerable period of time. They'll kill first. So we had the protest in turn. The interesting thing in the protest in turn was this. The police. At first, the police were fighting the people who were protesting. Then all of a sudden, the police themselves took off their helmets. They have these helmets with safeguards in front of them, their faces. And they marched in unison with the protesters. And ever since, this is about a week now, every time there's been a protest, and there have been a lot of them in Italy, the police have not policed. They have removed their helmets, and they have walked in unison with the protesters. This tells you that something's going on, okay? This protest is called the Pitchfork Protest. It started in Sicily last year of some farmer, and that's what's spreading. And he said recently, these are thousands of us, and we are growing by the hour. This government has to go. This government has to go. Now, let me tell you something interesting that happened here. Italy can be a crazy place because the people in Italy go crazy when something happens. They're very emotional, no matter what it is. I remember I was there 30, 35 years ago, and there was a big soccer match, and a fence went down and killed about 20 Italians because the place was too crowded. The Italians were blaming the country they were playing because their fans knocked down the fence and killed their Italians. They were ready to go to war. I was sitting having dinner with a bunch of nuns and a priest, and all they were talking about, we got to go to war. How can they do this to us? That's how these people are. In November, before the police were marching with the protesters, there was another protest in Turin. This is before the one where the cops took off their helmets. A young, she looks college age, her picture's all over the internet. This young girl went up to the police officers, and she kissed his face mask. The picture's beautiful. It shows a college girl going up to a police officer, and just her lips are puckered, and she's kissing lightly the face mask, you know, as if to say peace. Guess what? She's been charged with sexual assault. The paperwork says she committed an act of sexual violence. I don't know how far it's going to go, but that's arousing the people, okay? So we've got the police are no longer protesting. They've arrested some protester for kissing the police officer's mask, covering as if to say, you know, let's be friends. And now we got Silvio Berlusconi. And Silvio, as you know, he's going to jail right now. He lost two criminal cases, and he's been thrown out of his party, thrown out of the legislature. You have to understand something, though. People love Berlusconi in Italy. They also believe he's been screwed because it's the opposition government that controls the courts, and they feel this has been politically motivated, his downfall. He's out there talking to these people who are protesting. Don't be surprised if he comes back as prime minister again, or his party comes back to run the government, and he continues to be an influence. Okay, now, let's see, something's happening here. I got to figure out here on the computer here for a minute, excuse me. Okay, I got rid of that. Now, that's what's happening in Italy. Watch it, because next week there is a major protest, I think, in Rome. And it said things might get rough with that one. These people want to bring down the government. They don't want to put up with this crap anymore, this austerity stuff. Interesting. The whole world seems to be in turmoil this way. You notice you've got they want to overthrow the government in Egypt, which they did. Turkey, we're having the problem now in Ukraine. It happens all in Africa. It happens all over. I think not only are the winds of revolt in Italy, they're across the world. And don't think that wind can't come across the ocean to the United States. as long as the people here, we're being defecated upon. When international corporations keep important news away from the people, when the cost of your groceries are out of sight and you can't do anything about it because major corporate entities, six of them, own all the farms that sell to the supermarkets, we're in trouble. We've lost our voice. We can talk, but no one of any consequence listens. Must be careful. Exercise caution. Now we're going to Saudi Arabia. Always remember, the Saudis have been our friends. They were our very good friends all the time the cost of gasoline was going up and up and up. They were our major supplier. They were really our friends. They shoved it up our butts, okay? Also, and no one pays attention to this, 17 of the 20 Muslims that were in those planes on 9/11 that went into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the one that went down in the field in Pennsylvania, 17 of the 20 terrorists were Saudi Arabian citizens. They weren't from Iraq where Bush took us to war. They were from our friend, Saudi Arabia. And there wasn't much said about that either at that time or now. Women must still keep their faces covered and wear those black things. Women can't drive in Saudi Arabia. Women do not have the right to vote in Saudi Arabia. Everything sucks in Saudi Arabia. They still chop somebody's hand off for stealing. They stone a woman for being an adulteress. Okay, here's what happened now. Omar Al-Saud, 24 years old, is an activist in Saudi Arabia. His crime, he went out and he talked about we should have a constitutional monarchy. Instead of just a monarchy, we got to have a constitutional monarchy where we can vote for people and so forth. You know, just for saying I would prefer a constitutional monarchy type of government, they felt he was a rabble-rouser. They arrested him. They tried him. He just got sentenced for that to 300 lashes. Can you imagine 300 lashes? How does he survive that? And 40 years in jail. Ain't no freedom of speech in Saudi Arabia. Okay, let me tell you quickly about President Obama, what he's doing right now that I don't think is right. He's agreed and is selling water from the Great Lakes to China. You say, what's the big deal? Michael Snyder in his blog had a great article on this. What's the big deal? Well, we're several years away from a worldwide water crisis. We all know it. And here's Obama giving away water from the Great Lakes. 21% of the water in the Great Lakes, that's fresh water, that's 21% of the world's supply, and it's ours. And we're selling it to China and other countries, okay? And it's just wrong. Because by the year 2025, the United Nations says two-thirds of the world will be under water stress. 1.8 billion will be facing absolute water scarcity. We sell our water there to Nestle, also a major international corporation. Lake Huron and Lake Michigan are at the lowest levels recorded ever. Major American cities, Huffington Post recently said, are running out of water and going to be in trouble. Atlanta, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Cleveland, Miami. Things are bad, and the president has agreed to sell our water. I don't think it's right, and we don't know about these things. That's what bothers me again. That's the show. The time moves faster, the half hour. Please recall that I published my first book recently, 3 weeks ago, The World Upside Down. It can be purchased on Amazon.com and on BarnesandNoble.com. It's the softback paper, the softcover paperback. Looks good. Makes a great stocking stuffer for Christmas. Makes a nice little gift to somebody. It's good. It's essays that I write. Things I talk about here, I write about in the book. And I'd recommend it to you as a Christmas gift for someone, or just yourself, buy it and read it. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week.